Good morning, everyone. Okay, stand with me just for one reading of the Word of God this morning. And Philippians chapter 2. And this has been an amazing time. So, Philippians chapter 2. We're just going to read verse 1 and verse 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. We are the body of Christ. We have gathered to hear from you. Thank you for our pastor this morning. We pray for him. Pray that you would minister to him and minister through him throughout Finland and throughout Europe. God, thank you for the body of Christ. Thank you for your word that's forever settled in heaven. Bless this portion and bless the message from Pastor Love to come in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Happy New Year. You know, it's amazing. Some of us, you know, 2022, we were like, that's gone. And then 2023 starts. And oftentimes, the things that happen in 2022 continue into 2023. And we say, okay, God, what are you doing? And God is saying that I'm faithful to you. It's an amazing thing. As we were singing that song, I'm desperate for you. I love that. That's a great place to be, desperate for God. Because that means when God speaks, I'm listening. When God has a word for me, my ear is open. You know, and I was just thinking about this, the Apostle Paul, and this was in my devotional this week. And the Apostle Paul is writing the book of Philippians. And the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Philippi from a Roman prison. And it's amazing because you realize he is in prison for his faith. And he speaks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, blessed the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me, being not ashamed of my chains. And in Philippians chapter 2, we know Philippians chapter 2 is the kenosis passage, verses 5 through 8. And we love those portions because it speaks about why Christ came, the God-man. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if there be any consolation in Christ. And I was thinking about that word. It's an interesting word. It means this. It means, it's the word where we get our, the word paraclete, or the word for the Holy Spirit, paraklesis. The root is parakaleo. And this is what it means. It means summoning for help. And I love that. Because the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian church, and he is writing to them to encourage them and to build them up. But as we said before, he's writing from prison. So before he can build up the body of Christ, he himself has to be built up as a member of the body of Christ. Encouragement, strengthening. It also means to encourage, to comfort, to exhort, solace. That which affords refreshment. And I love that thought. So the Apostle Paul is being refreshed as he's in prison. You say, wait a minute, that's difficult to do. How can he refresh himself? He's isolated. He's in prison for his faith. He's going through probably the most difficult trial of his life. And he is writing to the body of Christ to refresh them. And he says, at no first, at my first offense, no man stood with me, yet the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, refreshed me. And I started thinking about that in the beginning of 2023, how important it is to be refreshed in the things of God. Yesterday we were all soul winning with Pastor Shabelli. It was amazing. What I love about Pastor Shabelli's life is in doing the will of God refreshes him. In doing the will of God becomes his meat, becomes that which ministers to him. That's our life as the body of Christ. It's not doing God's will. It's letting God minister to me, letting God, because we know in Philippians says that, for it is God, both the willing and doing of his good pleasure. God gives the will and the ability to perform it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who has called me will also do it. Philippians 1:6 says, confident of this thing, he which has begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of Christ. And so I began to realize that the Apostle Paul is not in prison. He's in the will of God. And that changes your perspective on the situation that you're in and that you're going through. You're not in it, right? God's there. And God's taking you through it, which means it has a purpose. And what was the purpose of prison? The prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. From prison, from a place of being incarcerated for the faith. But the word of God is not bound. And it just began to just minister to my soul because I thought of this. In 2023, and 2023 has just started, but I know of different individuals that are going through things in 2023. But God is present. We heard in the first service, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. We're always in need. And we're always coming to the throne of grace. And at the throne of grace, we're always being refreshed or encouraged by the mind of Christ. This is what Paul said. He said, be like-minded. Have the same mind. Be of one accord. It simply means to think with God. And for decades and decades and decades, this is the thing that has ministered to us as the body of Christ. Learning how to think with God in our situations. So then our situation doesn't have to change. We don't have to get an answer in our situation. The situation doesn't have to end because the situation is subject to God. And God is the one who has his hand on the thermostat in the situation. But long before his hand is on the thermostat, he's already given us promises. All the promises of God are in him, yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. The promises of God. I love this. It refreshes me. And I was thinking about this. Another word for refreshing is this, being quickened. Being quickened. Being made alive. In Psalm chapter 119, it says, verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. We've all experienced that. It wasn't just this morning when you wake up like, oh, what time is it? No, it can't be. I just went to bed. How could it be so soon? And your body is just like, I don't want to get out of bed. You're an adult, but you find yourself talking like you're a kid again. No, Ma, I don't want to go to school. No, Ma, I don't want to go to church. And you realize like, wait a minute. No, I'm the parent. So I got, the kids are expecting on me. But what does it say? Our souls cling, adhere, hold fast to the dust. But that's not the end of the verse. Quicken me according to thy word. Speak to me the word of God, Lord. Put it in me. Stir me up. Let me take a hold of your promise and meditate on your promise. And as I meditate on the promises of God, you know what happens? It begins to revive me. It begins to put strength in me. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel is in one of the greatest trials of his life. He is praying, and his prayer is hindered for 21 days to the point where he has no more strength. There's no more strength. He's a man of God in the will of God and no strength. And when the answer comes, I love this. This is ministered to me often and often and often and often. He says, "Oh, Daniel, a man greatly loved." When was the last time we let God love us? In our situation. Not out of our situation, in it. And it refreshes us. You know why? Because it tells us that God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he who's called you and me into our situations, who will also do it." Do what? Refresh us, strengthen us, provide for us, comfort us, build us, carry us, bottle our tears, count our hairs. He is faithful. 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 I love that. God is so faithful. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, "Faithful is he who's called you into fellowship of his son." He's faithful. And he's faithful to you and me. He's not just faithful. He's faithful to you and me. Now it becomes personal. He's faithful to my family. He's faithful in my marriage. He's faithful in my problems. He's faithful in my job. He's faithful in the household. He's faithful raising kids. He's faithful. This is what refreshes us. The character and nature of God that doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord your God and I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob shall not be consumed." Lamentations 3 verses 21 through 23. "This one thing I bring to remembrance, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies I am not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." Great is his faithfulness. This is the word of God. This is what it means to be refreshed. And Paul, writing to the Philippian church, is being refreshed. Therefore, he is writing with the mind of Christ and building the body of Christ. Think about this. In Philippians chapter 2, this is amazing. I was thinking about this, and this really ministered to me this morning. He said this. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus." Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equaled with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. Christ served the ones betrayed him. Christ served the ones who denied him. Christ served the ones who sinned against him. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve sinned, and we heard this morning. And what was God's response to them? He clothed them with the skins of an animal, and he shed the blood. And Genesis 3:15, he gave a promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He served. He served. He made himself of no reputation, but took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself. And I was thinking, you know, the tendency in my heart when you're in a situation or a circumstance is the opposite of humility. It's actually pride. Because you know what we say? Why am I going through this? Why is this happening to me? And God says to me, submit to God, resist the devil, submit to God. In your situation, submit to God. In the trial, submit to God. In the morning when you don't want to wake up out of bed, submit to God. It's so good. It's so good. You know, another thing I was thinking about this is in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. This week, read Ephesians chapter 2. Read the entire book of Ephesians 86 times. we are in Christ. Why is that important? Because we said before, I'm not in my situation. I'm in Christ. And Christ is in my situation. I'm in Christ. And Christ is in my situation. You know, that's what gives me hope. That's what gives me assurance. That's what gives me strength. That's what changes the situation. Because Christ is in my situation. So the situation is submitted to God. God is not submitted to the situation. I'll say that again. The situation is submitted to God. God is not submitted to the situation. Who gave us 2023? God. Which means anything that happens in 2023 has to go through the hand of God. I know we don't like that. We're like, Pastor G, I don't know about that one. Is that scriptural? Yes, it is. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the many of thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All things are for our sakes. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is beautiful. So Ephesians chapter 2, it says this, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Think about that. We were dead. You know what it means to be dead? To be dead. No ability, no strength, you're dead. You can't help, you can't do anything. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Which means we didn't have an option for us to breathe was sin. For us to do anything was sin. Verse 2, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That does not sound good. That's a bad commentary on life. But I love the next two words. But God. Think about that. But God. You know what it means? That I was going a certain direction and God stepped into my situation, turned me around, and now I'm going another direction. But God. But God. I was lost, but God, I'm found. I was on my way to hell, but God, I'm on my way to heaven. But God. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, but God translated him from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. But God. That is so important. Let God enter into your situation. And let God turn around your situation for his glory. But God. But God. And in the rest of the book, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about what but God has done. And this is what strengthened the Apostle Paul. He didn't get out of prison. He died for his faith. But God ministered to him and ministered through him and is now ministering to us in 2023. But God. Why is this important for us as believers? Because God has given us all of his promises for our situations, that we might learn of God and that we might declare God in our generation. So this is beautiful. This is why we come to church. But God, in 2023, let our confessions be, but God. I don't know what's happening today, but God knows what's happening today. I don't know where the finances are going to come from, but God is Lord over the finances. I don't know about a difficult situation that I may be experiencing in my family, but God is the one who gave me my family. Which means, but God knows what he's going to do. And the devil cannot rob us when our confession is, but God. But God. And this we heard from Pastor Melly in closing. I love this statement he said today. The devil likes for us to think that he doesn't exist. Our enemy wants us to think that it doesn't exist. So we start fighting with flesh and blood. But in Ephesians 6, it says this, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual weakness in high places. But you know what? But God has victory over principalities and powers. So in 2023, but God, in Jesus' name, amen, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are the but God. You are the one who turns things around. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, as we think about giving this morning, but God can change my attitude in giving. But God can change my attitude about my finances. But God can put me in a position of saying, Lord, I'm fellowshipping with you. I'm not no longer in bondage to not giving because but God has entered into my life. If you're online, thank you for co-laboring with us. But God, Lord, bless this offering for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful message that we just heard from Pastor Eugene. Thank you for being such a faithful God. Because when we look over our past history, you have not let us go. You should have, but you haven't. You've never failed. Your kindness has never failed. In fact, the prophet reminds us that someday the mountains will be removed, the hills will be taken away, but your kindness will never be removed. What a promise. And we're so grateful today as we stand in your presence and we're reminded of just how good, how faithful, how merciful you have been to us. You've made all the difference in our lives, which is why we worship you and glorify you. Pray that you would anoint this portion this morning as you already have this entire morning, the first service at 9, and then Pastor Eugene's message. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, would you open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 43? And we'll look at a couple of verses there and then turn over to Psalm 66 just to look at a verse as well. I was noticing as we were sitting up on the stage here this morning, Pastor Eugene, that there's no security behind us. They typically sit there. Just feel like they're sending you and me a message. We're going to protect everyone except you guys. I'm just kidding. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now I feel eternally secure. Okay. Isaiah chapter 43, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, because that's the one that I picked up at the Lost and Found. I have a lot of Bibles, by the way, that don't belong to me. I don't know. I figured, Lord, if that's the extent of my thievery, then I don't know. I guess I can live with that. I've got Pastor Palmer's Bible. I've got Pastor Stephen's Bible. I'm looking for Pastor Shabelli's Bible. I mean, I just go through them. If I see Pastor so-and-so, I say, I'll take that one. And I'll look for notes throughout the Bible that they might have written in it. But this is the New Living Translation, and it reads this way. Verse 1, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, who says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. and you are mine. Isn't that a good thought? Think about that this morning. You are God's. He purchased you. Purchased all of us with his precious blood. And then verse 2, when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, have you ever felt like you've been in rivers, plural, of difficulty? Maybe for some it's like, no, I feel like I'm in the rapids of difficulty. More threatening. But when you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God. And then turn over to Psalm 66. In one verse there. Verse 12. In this psalm, the psalmist is he's kind of rehearsing God's past dealings with the nation of Israel. Verse 12 starts out by saying, then you put a leader or a deliverer over us. And then he said, we went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Wow. Faith, there's something about faith that we understand because we've experienced it. And it's simply this. Faith always triumphs because of the one that we have put our faith in. It's the object of our faith that really matters. It's not faith, because people have lots of faith in so many different things. But when we place our faith in Christ, he causes us always to triumph. And I want you to think about this, because the two words that are repeated here in the book of Isaiah and then again in the psalm are fire and water. And think about this. From the beginning of time, fire and water have been man's two most essential needs. Can't live without them. But they can also turn into man's worst enemies. Right? We read so often, we see it on television, oftentimes the fires. Think of the fires in Southern California. So often those fires are raging throughout the year, especially during the summertime, and we see some of these beautiful homes, hundreds of them, beautiful, expensive homes, just consumed by the fires. And I always think that there's two places I'm not really that interested in living in, California and Florida. But yet, for so many, they seem to be two of the most desirable places to live because of their, you know, the environment. But if I lived in California, I think I'd wake up every day thinking, will the great earthquake happen today? Or will a mudslide take me out? Or is a flood on its way? And in Florida, I'd be thinking, you know, when's the next hurricane coming? Those two places, as beautiful as they are, I think, no, I'm not interested. And then you think, well, you know what? Maybe the safest place is smack dab in the middle of the country. No, then the tornadoes come ripping through. So it's almost like, Lord, I think Baltimore right now is the best place for me to be. Amen? But it's true. The fires, and then, of course, the waters. You know, after those fires came through Southern California, the people there that are living there, they became aware of a new danger. And the new danger was water, because the priceless watershed had been destroyed. And with the coming winter rains, they actually were being threatened by something even worse than the fires. Incredible. But think about how those two very essential needs of mankind are the two very things that God uses to describe the trials and the tests that he brings his people through. Again, Psalm 66, verse 12. We went through fire and through water, and you brought us into a wealthy place, a place of abundance. And that's what that word wealthy means, abundance, a wide place, a place of recovery, a place of refreshment. So isn't it interesting that God, He describes the trials, the troubles, the difficulties, the afflictions of his children as fire and water, just indicating to us how severe they can be. And sometimes they are. At first, you could read these words and you could be easily discouraged. But when you think of the joy, the victory, the comfort that's wrapped up in the one word that's repeated both in Isaiah and here by the psalmist, it's the word through. That's what God always does. He never leaves us in those places. He always brings us through them. There's never a time. He never says that the waters will, you will be submerged in the waters and you will never come through the waters. He always says, I'm going to bring you through. Through the fire. Through the water. Because as God's children, the promise from God is, you're never going to be submerged. You're never going to be drowned. But you're always going to be kept through the flood and the fire. You think about it. Even at the end of his life, what did the psalmist say? Because we can go through so much in life itself, and then we reach the end of our life. And what did he say in Psalm 23? Even though I pass what? Through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're still with me. Even at that moment, when we face death, God says, I'll get you through that as well. Because as we just sang, or she just sang for us. We didn't want to sing with her, we would have ruined it. But she sang it so beautifully. We've just never seen a time when he's failed. Never seen a time when he hasn't caught us. Never seen a time when he hasn't brought us through. The fact that we're here today is proof positive to the glory of God that we've been brought through. And even when the doctor comes and he gives us that diagnosis and we have to listen to it, And it breaks our heart. What do we know? God somehow, some way, he's going to get us through that. And he's going to be glorified. The trial by fire. Think about Job. That's what he compared his affliction to. Being cast into a furnace. But listen to the words that he says in Job chapter 23, verse 10. When he has tried me. And I'm so grateful that he doesn't say, if that should ever happen. But he was in the middle of it. It's not a question of if we will be tried, if we will be tested, if we will go through the floods, if we will be in the fire. It is a matter of when. But when he has tried me. He said, I shall come forth as gold. Notice the words again. I'll come forth. Those are triumphant words. He never said, when I'm in the fire, I will be consumed. When I'm in the floods, certainly I'll be drowned. He says, I will come through it. I will come forth. I mean, it's one thing to testify after you've passed through the fire. And thank God for testimonies of people that have that. You know, every one of us probably at some point or another in our lives could stand before the body of Christ and give a testimony of how God brought us through. But think about Job. He was still in the furnace when he said those words. The heat was on. He was covered with boils. Fever controlled his body. He was scraping his oozing boils with broken pieces of pottery. His head throbbed with pain. His supposedly fierce friends of his, they were accusing him of sin in his life. But he looked beyond the fiery trial and he shouts out with reassuring faith, I shall come through. That's our testimony. And by the way, even if you're in the midst of that fire and in the midst of that flood, and you can't even say those words, it doesn't matter. Recently, someone said to me, you know what? I cannot believe God anymore. I don't believe God anymore. I mean, at that point, some people would hang the phone up and say, well, that's too bad. I don't want to talk to you. But I said to them, even if you cannot believe God, know this. Your unbelief cannot make the word of God of none effect.
Even if we stop believing, what does the scripture say? He abides faithful. Because we are not gathered here today to talk about how wonderful we are, how great we are, how faithful we are, how amazing we are. We gather together as consistently as we do to talk about His greatness, His faithfulness, His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace. Because He is altogether glorious. Because He gets us through. I like the way that Job saw himself how? As gold. In the furnace. David saw himself and saw the children of God, the people of Israel, as silver in the refiner's fire. He said in Psalm 66, verse 10, a couple of verses before verse 12, he said, "You have tried us as silver in the fire." How is silver tried? By turning up the heat. Have you ever sensed that God is turning up the heat in your life? Because we just say, Lord, you know, why? Why turn up the heat? Well, Malachi describes these metals together in Malachi, the third chapter. And it's almost as if he's explaining how God develops his people. And he says these words, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge them just like gold and silver." Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. And I love the fact that he sits like the refiner of silver and gold. He's not troubled about it like we can be. He's not disturbed about it like we sometimes find ourselves. He just sits because he knows exactly what he's doing. And why? Because the prophet asked that question, why? So that we might offer unto the Lord the offering of righteousness. So look at it this way. The divine method that God uses is fire. The divine motive is what? To purge and purify us. And what's the divine objective? Righteousness in our lives. Practical righteousness. We know that we are the righteousness of God by faith. We know that we have the very righteousness of Christ. But God wants that righteousness that's positional to be worked out in a very practical way in our lives. So that it can be seen by a watching world. So that the world can stand up and take notice that we are not just talking about God, but we are reflecting His nature. And they get to see, as Pastor Stevens used to say, it's theatric action. Taking an invisible God and making Him visible and using weak, frail people like us to do it. That's grace. And all this is happening. You know, when these things happen, when we go through the fire, when we go through the floods, and sometimes we feel like we're being overwhelmed, that's when we're most tempted to do this one thing. What is it? Well, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 talks about it. Cast away your confidence. It always happens. It happened with the disciples when Jesus said to them, "Get in the boat, we'll go to the other side." And then the great storm comes down from the mountains and begins to whip up the waters. A tempest threatening their lives. And who is it that cries out in the midst of that trouble? Wakes up Jesus and says, "Lord, don't you care?" It was Peter. I don't know what that is. I mean, we can be living our lives, and if there's no flood, and if there's no fire, and if there's no trouble and no affliction, well, we can just kind of go. But the moment those troubles come, the moment those fires, we're baptized into them, and the floods come, sometimes it causes us to cry out, just as Peter did, and to say, "Lord, don't you care about my pain? Don't you care about my struggle? Don't you care about my affliction?" But we have to remember, when we're tempted to cast away our confidence, oh, remember this, He cares. It would be the same Peter who would cry out in that boat and say, "Don't you care?" Who would later write in 1 Peter 5, 7, we can cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. He learned, but He went through the fire. He went through the floods. He cares. Never let Satan inject a doubt into your mind regarding God's love for you. He'll try to. He longs to take advantage of our present trial and grief that we experience, and to whisper in our ear, if God really cares, you would not still be there. If God really cares, he certainly would have come to deliver you and rescue you by now. He loves to whisper those words. But we know he does. In fact, we're so precious in his sight that nothing but the terms silver and gold can describe his concern about us. And as gold and silver, well, we know it in our culture, those things ultimately are what? Corruptible. But what God is doing in your life, that is incorruptible. That is eternal. That's why this light affliction that we experience, which is but for a moment, is working. God takes our affliction and he employs it. And he employs it to do his great, lasting, eternal work so that he can create what? An exceeding weight of glory. Remember this about the fire. We're never harmed by the fire. We're only developed when we're in the midst of it. The fire sets us free from, you could look at it this way, the fire may be used by God to kind of set us free from the shackles of carnality, to burn away the dross in our lives, to remove some of those things that would hinder our spiritual progress, making us ultimately more like Christ and revealing that practical righteousness through our lives. God's presence is very real and precious in the fire. The dross will be consumed, but here's the good news, you won't be. The dross will be consumed, but you won't be. We sometimes feel that we might be, but God promises that will not happen because he cares. And not only does he care, but he comforts. He sits as a refiner of silver, which means he never leaves that refining process. He never walks away from it. He never gets preoccupied with another galaxy and forgets what it is that you're going through. He sits like the refiner of this precious metal, and he watches carefully, making sure there's sufficient heat, applying the right amount of heat, and for the right amount of time. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us once again, as Pastor Eugene shared with us, that God is faithful. He will never permit us. He will never allow us to go through more than we can handle. So he knows how to keep his hand on the thermostat. And he knows how long we need to be in the fire that refines us. I read this fascinating story by a gentleman by the name of David Kirk. He wrote a book entitled The Mystery of Divine Chastening. And he tells the story of two Christian martyrs. One during the Reformation period. One veteran saint, Latimer, and the other was a young believer named Riley. They were condemned to be burned at the stake. The night before the execution, young Riley was highly nervous, very agitated. He looked through the iron bars of their dungeon prison and saw them preparing the stakes. In his panic, he tried to light a candle, and in the process, he burned his finger. His burn impressed upon him the greater agony of the fate that awaited him, and he cried out, "I can't stand it! I can't stand it!" His seasoned companion gently laid his hand upon his shoulder and said, "My friend, God didn't ask you to burn your finger, so he doesn't give you grace to stand it tonight. But tomorrow, when the time comes, God will be there with his sufficient grace." The next morning, the two men were led to the stakes, each with a triumphant smile and perfect peace in their heart. And as the flames surrounded their bodies, out of the midst came their vibrant voices, united in a victorious song of praise. God gave them grace when they needed it the most. Wow. That's the faithfulness of God. That's proof that he cares and that he comforts. And ultimately, he's in control, isn't he? He sits by the fire. He guards. He protects. He cares for the precious metal. And if he cares for the precious metal, that is the refiner of silver, how much more does God care for the precious souls that he was willing to give his son for. We have the assurance of his presence. It's always through. You will pass through the water, through the fire. I will be with you. He never places the ones he loves into the fire or into the furnace or into the flood and somehow forgets that they are there. He will always be present. You know, Paul, when he reached the end of his life, you can read about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and he talks about how everyone at that point had forsaken him. And he said, and no man stood with me. But listen to what he said in verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me. The loyalty of others may be very questionable, but not God's loyalty. We will never have to doubt it. We will never have to wonder if we have been forsaken. He knows when the work is done. He knows how that work has been complete. Like the refiner of silver. We've heard it before, but it bears reiteration. The refiner of silver turns up the heat, burns away the dross, removes all of the impurities, and then was once questioned, how do you know when the silver is purified? And he says, when I look into the silver and see my own image. God, how will you know? How will we know if we are being conformed into the image of your Son? How do we know if we will reflect your divine nature while here on the earth? How will we understand it? And you know what God's answer would be? Because when I look at you, I see my own image. When God looks at you, he sees his Son. And I think that that is especially so when we go through the fire, when we go through the floods. We will not drown. We will not be consumed. God, well, he's determined it. Just as we have borne the earthly. Paul said that to the Corinthians. He said, just the same way we have borne the earthly image, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. Not just when we get there, but while we're here on the earth. And if people are going to get a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of what God's like, a glimpse of God's character, if they're going to be able to look and see the grace of God and begin to fathom and understand what mercy is, they'll get a chance to do it through our lives. Gold and silver in this world and in this life, corruptible. What God is doing in ours, incorruptible, eternal, forever. And how is he going to do it? Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. He'll do the work. We'll just make ourselves available. If we could just simply say, you know, Lord, here am I. That's enough. Sometimes we're tempted to say, you know, Lord, here am I. Send someone else. But really what we need to say is, Lord, I'm here. I know I can't do a thing through my own effort, through my own strength, through my own ability. But if I could yield myself into your hands, I know you have the power to make me just like Jesus. And he'll do it. And he'll do it by his grace. Amen? Let's pray together. I know that it was asked earlier if anyone was here for the first time. I think we have one visitor joining us today. So, fairly confident that everyone here has already accepted Christ as their Savior. But maybe you are here. Maybe you've never made that decision before. We want to give you that opportunity. We don't want to close our service. We never want to end our service without extending an invitation to anyone to come to Christ. To come just the way you are. You might be a mess. Good. Your mess just gives God an opportunity to reveal his message through your life. Come just the way you are. You don't have to clean yourself up. You come to Christ and he says, I'll take care of the cleansing. You don't have to improve yourself because, as we all know, you can't. But when we cry out, Lord, I can't. I can't live a good life. I can't control my thoughts. I can't make quality decisions. I think you answer, Lord, by saying, I know you can't, but I can. And I can do it through you. If you'll just give me your heart. Today, if you're here and you're listening, you want to accept Christ as your Savior, say, Jesus, come into my heart, live, cleanse me, take me into your family. I want to be born again this morning. I want you to rescue my life because I feel like I'm drowning. He'll do it. If you're here this morning, you've said yes to Christ, just raise your hand. Just put it up in the air and put it right back down. The ushers that are present want to give you a gift, remind you of the wonderful decision that you've made. Anyone here, Jesus, come into my heart, live, save me, cleanse me. Thank you for that hand, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Father, thank you so much. It's always so great to be together with the body of Christ. Just continue to bless the remainder of our service, the remainder of this day. Bless Pastor Schaller as he continues to ministry in Finland today and tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.